Om Jnana Tmirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
After controlling one's mind and sitting postures, one should spread a seat in a secluded and sanctified place. Sit there in an easy posture, keeping the body erect, and practice breath control. Purport: sitting in an easy posture is called Svasti Samasinaha. It is recommended in the yoga scripture that one should put the soles of the feet between the two thighs and ankles and sit straight. That posture will help one to concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This very process is also recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter. It is further suggested that one sit in a secluded, sanctified spot. The seat should consist of deer skin and kusha grass topped with cotton. This chapter is titled Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. And what we have here is a description of the Hatha Yoga system. The Hatha will be described in the next verse, Kumbhaka Rechaka, breathing in and out according to a controlled process. So this is not the central point of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada writes in the purport here that the posture that's being described in this verse will help one to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course, one can sit in this posture or any other posture for millions of years, and it won't help one's remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless the direct activities of devotional service are there. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Unless that is there, then sitting in and of itself cannot help one to remember Krishna. But if one is dedicated, or if one has the aim to hear and chant about Krishna, then sitting like this could help. It's generally recommended to sit like this. We find in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna asked Krishna, Stitha Pragyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Stasya Keshava Stithati Kim Prabhashita Kimasita Vrajeta Kim. How does a self-realized, or Stitha Pragya, one whose consciousness is fixed, how does he talk, being situated in samadhi? How does he discuss? How does he sit? And how does he walk? And you may think, well, you think he's going to sit in any different way to anyone else? Or walk in any way different to anyone else? But the characteristic that's described by Lord Krishna, that his sitting and walking may be the same, but prajahati yada kaman, just his desire, he does so, but in a manner that his desires are withdrawn. He doesn't walk, talk, eat for the sake of sense gratification. He does the same things, but does it for the sake of Krishna. Krishnate akila cheshta. Everything is done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this sitting posture is an aid in meditation. We're enjoined to think of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, think of me. So in the mechanical yoga process, this can help. It will help us, if we sit straight, that will help us to remain awake and alert. When one is fully Krishna conscious, then in any posture, one will always be thinking of Krishna. There are other considerations also, because as a matter of respect, one should not sit with one's legs stretched out before the deity. One should not have the feet pointing at anyone. So if one sits cross-legged, then the legs are inside. There's how cultured people walk and talk. It's different to that of uncultured people. People who are cultured, who are cultivating the higher goals of life. There are other considerations also, because as a matter of respect, one should not sit with one's legs stretched out before the deity. One should not have the feet pointing at anyone. So if one sits cross-legged, then the legs are inside. There's how cultured people walk and talk. It's different to that of uncultured people. People who are cultured, who are cultivating the higher goals of life. Everything they do is in a manner that will lead towards that, and which reflects their higher standard of consciousness. So there's a difference between the way reserved and cultured people even stand and that of the way in which lusty, low-class people stand. I just yesterday on the train, as I was standing in the vestibule, one young girl, college-age girl, was standing. She must have seen it on the TV or something, standing in a manner which is lusty, just to show off whatever flesh and blood she had. The flesh and blood, skin, that's what it is. So this is lusty. This is monkey standard. It's specifically with the purpose of exciting lusty desires. Whereas the cultured people, they act in a manner in which the lusty desires will not be, they act, they sit, they interact in such a manner that lusty desires will not unnecessarily be inflamed. Because that is the enemy. Nitya vairi, the constant enemy of the conditioned soul, is lusty desires. Therefore, in civilized society, the whole way of everything is aimed. Prabhupada wrote in one purport that in the Varnashram culture, the whole culture is aimed at overcoming sexual desire. Of course, that's the beginning. And over and above that, there is development of Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness won't develop if there is consciousness of sense gratification. The two things don't go on, side by side. The whole way of everything is aimed. Prabhupada wrote in one purport that in the Varnashram culture, the whole culture is aimed at overcoming sexual desire. Of course, that's the beginning. And over and above that, there is development of Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness won't develop if there is consciousness of sense gratification. The two things don't go on, side by side. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, eshabna, chare, kishe, pabe, radha, Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts the rhetorical question that as long as we're absorbed in kam, krodh, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and so on, then where is the question of attaining to Radha and Krishna? It's a ridiculous proposition that we shall be lusty and greedy and at the same time attain to Radha and Krishna. Therefore, who are above all the mundane lust? That's the mistake of materialistic people, that they think that Radha Krishna Leela is some affair of mundane lust. So that's why in civilized society there are restrictions. People think that an advanced society is one that is free. But the freedom to live like a monkey That is not advanced. The freedom to prepare oneself to enter into the animal species, that is not advanced. Rather, there should be restrictions. Worthwhile, valuable restrictions. Just like children, there are restrictions. Don't go outside unattended. Don't play with the kitchen knives. You can play with some things, not with the kitchen knives. There are restrictions because they are ignorant. That's why there are restrictions in Vedic culture according to the level of development of consciousness. Shudras are very much restricted. Brahmanas, they have a lot of freedom. So they say, well, it's just exploited. But it's not exploited. It's rather that one who is responsible, they have more freedom to act. Those who are less responsible, those who are addicted to sense gratification, who are not knowledgeable about the goal of life, they should be restricted in their activities so as not to cause harm to themselves or to others. And when one is more advanced, then he takes up a life of more restriction. Voluntarily, this yoga practice is very strict. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses. One voluntarily undertakes that for the sake of spiritual realization. So this is being described here. And even though in Kali Yuga, Haryan Nama, Haryan Nama, Haryan Nama, Iva Kivalam Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Datiran Yata, the only way to attain Godhead, or to attain the Param Gati, the topmost destination, is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. But nevertheless, many of the directions in the yoga system are valuable for practitioners on the path of bhakti, for chanters of the holy name. Just like this, if one sits, it's with his legs tucked in, then sits straight like this, Riju Kaya, straight body, then that will help to maintain attention and not fall asleep. Whereas if one sits with the legs outstretched, then automatically one's making offenses by doing that, which is, if we make offenses, we can't advance in bhakti. Or if we sit with the body all flopped like this, that means just from the beginning we're not concentrating. So these processes are helpful, but secondarily helpful. They may help someone who's already on the path of becoming Krishna conscious. And for those who have not come to the level of understanding or acceptance that Krishna is the goal of life, then the yoga process is a step. Yoga Ruksha. The step on the ladder. The yoga ladder. Karma, jnana, dhyana. Ultimately, one has to come to bhakti. So, although this cannot in itself, in and of itself, attract Krishna, nasadi atimam yogo, Lord Krishna says, I'm not, the sadhana for attaining Krishna is not yoga, but, well, he doesn't say that. Nasadi ati mam yoga dharmam sankhyam cha udhava. What's the next line, Tamal Krishna? Dharmam sankhyam cha udhava. Ah, and then the last line, third line I forgot. Anyone knows? Yata bhaktir mamarjita. He says that these other activities, yoga, dharma, sankhya, and the third line which I forgot, they cannot satisfy me in the same way that bhakti can. So it's a beginning. This yoga process is a beginning. And we find that Krishna himself, when he comes in this world personally, Rama, when he comes, they also respect, they offer respect to the brahmanas and the rishis, because they are engaged in spiritual practices which are meant for elevation. We find that Ram in the Dandakaranya forest, he went to the forest, but he brought his bows. In the forest, you should think you should just do meditation, but Ramchandra Bhagavan, he brought his bow and arrows because he had to make the forest suitable for the rishis who were being harassed by rakshasas. They go to the forest for peace, but the forest wasn't peaceful. So Lord Ramchandra went and made the situation peaceful. So he was helping those who were engaged in yoga meditation, although ultimately much dearer to him than the those engaged in yoga and meditation with the monkeys. These were saying not to be like a monkey. Well, we should preach, yes, be like a monkey. What is the aim of our Krishna conscious movement? Everyone should be like a monkey. Is that a good idea? We can preach like that. Everyone should be a monkey like Rama's monkeys, not other monkeys. In other words, everyone should be completely dedicated to Lord Rama or Krishna's monkeys. Now we're celebrating Damodar month. I was told it was Diwali today, but I thought it was yesterday. What's going on? Are we having a double Diwali, or what is it? Officially, national holiday was yesterday, wasn't it? Maybe it's a different calendar, or something. There's always different calendars. Anyway, somewhere it's going on in one of the universes every day. So, if you want, we can say it's Janmashtami today also. But at least on this planet, it's Diwali either yesterday or today. So it's a good day. The Kartik month is a good day for remembering, or a month for remembering monkeys. Always think of monkeys. It seems that was what Krishna was doing, because he was very determined to feed the monkeys. His companions. It's difficult to say who is more mischievous, Krishna or the monkeys. So his mother was not very happy. Said, why are you always going to other people's houses, stealing the butter, distributing it to the monkeys? The food, I'm not giving you nice enough, or you're upset that I'm not prepared. I have all the maids, so okay, I'll prepare it myself. I'll make it myself. I'll milk the cows myself, make the butter myself, feed you myself. Still, Krishna is going to steal the butter and feed the monkeys. Then why? Well, before the monkeys were with Lord Ram, they're in the forest, they had such a hard time. So this time I'm going to give them a good time. So Mother Yashoda, she couldn't understand that the same Krishna, her naughty boy, is that Lord Ramchandra who is very honest, Maryada Purushottam. He wouldn't steal anything. He's upholding, but so he's come again this time. And this time he's, although the Lord is always Bhakta Vatsala, he's always very kind to his devotees, but especially as Krishna, instead of following all the rules like Ram, it seems he's completely dedicated to breaking all the rules. But the one rule that he never breaks, the one rule that he always upholds, he can break all the other rules to uphold this rule, is that he will protect, he will always be Bhakta Vatsala. He's always be pleasing to his devotees. So by stealing the butter and feeding the monkeys, he became very kind to the monkeys, and actually very kind to all of his devotees also. Because although they're complaining to Mother Yashoda, they're actually very happy. Oh, Krishna came and he took our burden. Very nice. So then Mother Yashoda would chastise him and Krishna would stop going for some time. Then they'd come and, what's wrong? He's sick. What's wrong with your Gopal? He's not coming to our house anymore. So Mother Yashoda didn't know what to do. First of all, they're complaining that he's coming to our house and stealing the butter. Then when he doesn't come, they're coming and complaining that he doesn't come. So what to do? This is a long way beyond the yoga. Wait a minute, we're supposed to be talking about yoga and meditation here. What happened to yoga and meditation? Well, this is the topmost meditation. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasam pashyanti yam yoginaha. The yogis are supposed to meditate upon Krishna. They meditate upon Krishna in the heart. Bilva Mangal Thakur was sitting blind in Vrindavan, meditating on Krishna. He's trying to do his meditation. In the meantime, someone's coming and pulling his cloth. So, hey, stop, I'm meditating. Don't disturb my meditation. But he who is pulling the cloth is the person he's meditating. He's sitting in the heart and he's come outside and he's poking him and pulling his cloth. So that's a better than meditation. Is to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. The brahmanas would be standing in the river chanting mantras and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and grab their feet and make them fall over. So, oh, my meditation is, I'm chanting mantras to worship the Supreme Lord. Well, he's come right here. He's ready to play with you. So which is better? Satyavrata Muni is praying for the benediction to always remember the form of that boy who is running in fear from Mother Yashoda. It's unimaginable. The yoga doesn't come here. We don't find Mother Yashoda sitting in meditation. She's too busy. She has a big household to look after. She has Krishna to look after. He's a very naughty boy. We see that young boys, when devotees, ladies, they have children, then all their sadhana is spoiled. Because they have 24 hours to look after their child. That's why many times they say, oh, my Gopal. It's good to think of him as representative of Krishna, because if you can think that Mother Yashoda, she was also doing like that, then you can be Krishna conscious. Because children, young babies, they don't agree that, okay, let's have an agreement. You don't cry because I have to chant my rounds. But there's no such thing. They're 24 hours. So Mother Yashoda is very busy. This breaking the pot, and then Mother Yashoda binding Krishna, this pastime took place on Diwali day, we are informed by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So she must have been especially busy on that day, because I don't know, nowadays in Bombay they just go to the sweet shops and buy sweets, but normally the ladies are busy cooking sweets for Diwali. So they're very busy, and for the few days before they're cooking sweets, and then people are visiting their home, their neighbors, and then they visit the other people's. So it's a very busy day. And just on this day, Krishna chose to be more naughty than usual. He's already more naughty than Mother Yashoda could imagine. She was so happy to have a child after such a long time. But then she found the child is so naughty. So he was being more naughty than usual on this day. So what to do? I'm busy, I have to look at the guests and the pot of milk. And so she tied him up, that's one way, and to keep him out of trouble. But even then, Krishna found a way to make more trouble by pulling down the trees. So this is not yoga, not that kind of yoga, that sitting and breathing like this. Mohushva sakampa chire kanka kanta stita graivada. This breathing. There's another kind of breathing. that Krishna, he's breathing very he's breathing very hard as he's running away from Mother Yashoda and trembling in fear. Mother Yashoda was angry. She's running after Krishna. She wants to capture him and beat him. Who does that remind you of? What about Kala, Kala Yavan? He was also chasing after Krishna, wanting to kill him. But he couldn't, Krishna couldn't be caught. So in the same way, Krishna is running from Mother Yashoda. Kala was very angry at Krishna. He thought of Krishna as my enemy and was chasing him. Mother Yashoda was also very angry at Krishna. She was angry. Now, how is that bhakti? Anger means it's a negative feeling, isn't it? That's why we're enjoined. Give up anger. Don't be angry. Because anger is a transformation of lust. Kama krodha. Kama nuja. After kama comes anger. When one's desire is not fulfilled, one becomes angry. Or even if your desire is fulfilled, you're still not satisfied. So either way you become the tendency to be angry. That is a transformation of lust, which is the enemy of the conditioned soul. So what is Mother Yashoda's anger? It's not mundane lust, because she's far beyond mundane lust. But her anger is ananda chinmaya rasa patibhavitabhi. It's simply another expression of her great love for Krishna, that she's thinking how I can serve Krishna. What is the best thing for him? So if he's very badly behaved, or if he breaks all the yogurt, then I can't feed him with the yogurt. Then he can't be healthy if he doesn't eat properly. So she doesn't have a logical process of thinking in such a way, but as a natural manifestation of her love for Krishna, she's chasing after him angrily. This bhav and anubhav. Bhav is one of anger, and that is expressed by her chasing after Krishna, and Krishna is feeling afraid. Now this, who is, don't tell this to the yogis. The yogis, they're meditating. And if we tell them that actually that person you're meditating on, he's running away from his mother, they'll say, well, what's the use of meditating? We're trying to come to a higher platform and we want to meditate on the greatest person. But if he's just running away like a little ordinary boy, that means he's only pretending to be the greatest person. He's, the greatest person should be very powerful and grave. So the yogis, they cannot come, they cannot understand this. Swarasiki Siddhi, Braja Gopi Dhan, Paramachanchala Shati, Nirvishesha Gyan, Jogira Dhyan, Nirvishesha Gyan, Ekani Napai Stiti. The specific way of serving Krishna that each individual gopi of Vrindavan has, that is their great treasure. It's not possible to understand. It's simultaneously they're completely dedicated to Krishna, and at the same time they're ready to be, they are angry with him, they reject him, apparently. So by nirvishesh gyan, by this saying that, well, ultimately everything is all one. Nirvishesh, then where is Krishna's, where is Mother Yashoda's anger? And yogis dhyan, the meditation of the yogis, that has no place in Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is far, far beyond the yogis' breathing processes or the yogis' sitting postures. They have no entrance there. Even Lord Shiva and Narad Muni, they, even they, maintaining their ordinary mood, cannot enter. So what to speak of the yogis and the impersonalists? How that Krishna, he's actually feeling fear, and Mother Yashoda is actually feeling anger. It's not possible to understand by any logical process. So Krishna, he's through these pastimes. We're singing every day here in ISKCON Juhu. They sing twice a day. That by these pastimes, Krishna is showing even the devotees of Vaikuntha that he can be bound up, but by the ropes of love, by bhakti bandha. Otherwise, Mother Yashoda, no one can tie up Krishna. If anyone can tie him up, then he's not God. That is the foolishness of the demons. They come to Vrindavan and they think, we are going to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Kamsa is sending Keshi. Kamsa is sending Agha, Baka, Putana, Vatsasura, so many, Trinavatasura, with the idea they should kill Krishna. And they come with the idea, we shall kill Krishna, which is a manifestation of their gross foolishness. They cannot harm even one hair on the body of Krishna, let alone kill him. There's no question of that. They have no power. It's not possible. But they're coming thinking like that. That is a manifestation of their foolishness. But Mother Yashoda is also chasing Krishna with anger, with the aim to tie up Krishna, and she does so. Krishna is tied up, which the demons, they cannot do. Duryodhana wanted to tie up Krishna. He thought, this foolish Krishna, he's coming alone as a messenger from the Pandavas. We can just tie him up and keep him captive, and then the Pandavas will be finished, because Krishna is their life. So Krishna came in and he said to Duryodhana, you want to tie me up? You want to tie me up? Well, alright. And then Krishna showed, he's here, he's there, he's so many Krishnas. Then which Krishna, how many Krishnas will you tie up? Because he's everywhere. You cannot tie him up. But Mother Yashoda, she can tie him up. He's actually bound. He cannot become free unless she frees him. She has tied him up by that which is greater than Krishna. He's showing that yes, there is something greater than me. Just after a few days after I was allowed to join this movement, I started reading Nectar of Devotion. In the very beginning it states that Krishna is the most powerful, but more powerful than him is bhakti. And what is this? This is something unusual. There's more powerful than God, that means he's not God. Yes, he's supreme. Otherwise, if he's not supreme, he's not God. So Krishna is supreme. But he becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees. And that is the particular contribution of particularly the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. The particular contribution is to show that beyond theism, ordinary theism, is tying God up. So this is not something to discuss in your interfaith conference. How we shall tie up God. We can discuss. We shall discuss how Mother Yashoda is tying him up. By meditating upon this. By glorifying Mother Yashoda. We also get the opportunity to enter into those pastimes. The whole teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are how to serve Krishna in such a way that his devotees become so satisfied that they grant us entrance into his eternal service. So this is Jogira Dhyan Nirvishesha Gyan Ekanina Paisthiti. This is far, far beyond the sitting postures, breathing. It's unimaginable to such yogis. But even though we are not capable, if we're not capable of sitting for a long period, performing such meditation, but by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole spiritual world, that which is not attainable by the yoga process at all, which is not attainable by this very difficult process, is attainable by the very easy process of chanting the holy names of Krishna and actual chanting means with that desire. That desire when we're chanting Hare Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. That's me. May I become a monkey. May I be either Ram's monkey or Krishna's monkey or whatever. Whatever is the desire of Krishna. We may think, well, I'm going to be a gopi. I'm not going to settle for anything less. We should, our aim should be to be a servant. We should desire to be a servant, and then in whatever way Krishna or his devotees orchestrate Krishna's pastimes, in whatever way they see fit, in the way that we can best serve Krishna. Sometimes it's almost like a materialistic consciousness. Some devotees have that. Well, I'm gonna go and do manjari meditation, become a gopi. Why? I'm not gonna do all this, you know, being a member of ISKCON and all this basic stuff. I'm gonna go to Radha Kund and become a gopi. You cannot force your way in. Only by service, by humble service, one can become accepted that yes, this person is fit. There's no forceful entrance. That even by chanting or performing austerities or even superficially living at Radha Kund, if one has not adopted the mood of service, then ekanina paisthiti, we won't have a place in Krishna's pastimes. So this month in particular, we're meditating on Krishna's wonderful Vrindava, especially his childhood pastimes. How the Mother Yashoda, especially Mother Yashoda Krishna and Krishna's Priya Radharani, we don't find her in the butter-stealing Leela. Krishna has so many pastimes. But to meditate that, this is our goal of life. To always think of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Deva. He is the Deva, the Supreme Lord. He is, Deva means who is giving some benediction. Varam Deva. We're begging some benediction. But what is the benediction? That we can always have remembrance of his wonderful childhood pastimes within our hearts. So the yogis, they practice this kind of meditation to try to capture the form of the Lord within their hearts by a mechanical process. But the devotees, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, hearing about his pastimes, then the desire to enter those pastimes as a servant, that becomes awakened. It's not a mechanical process. Mechanical process means it's concerned with the mind and the body. But the natural process, that is to awaken the soul's feelings for Krishna. So, in this way, devotees are sahajiyas. Sahaj means natural. So devotees, they're actual sahajiyas. They follow the natural path of awakening loving feelings for Krishna. But they are not prakrita sahajiyas. They are not mundane. They don't take what is mundane to be natural. One should not be a prakrita sahajiya. One should be an actual sahajiya. Prakrita sahajiya means they take that which is mundane to be natural. But when one's consciousness has crossed over all attraction to that which is mundane, then he can come to that which is actual, natural, and pure, which is the heart's attraction for Krishna. That's why, along with remembering the pastimes of Krishna, we also discuss Bhagavad Gita as it is, these sections of Bhagavatam. We may think that, well, prayojan tattva, prem prayojan, that which is required is to hear about and remember the pastimes of Krishna. So then why should we worry about this? Is also in Bhagavad Gita, shucho deshte pratishtapya, how the yogis, they go to a holy place and they meditate. Then why should we discuss all this sense control? Let's just come to the natural process of hearing and about and remembering Krishna. But as long as our consciousness is polluted by material desires, then our tendency will be, when we hear about Krishna's pastimes, then because of our inability to understand that which is transcendental, we will take it to be something mundane. So, to advance to the platform where we can fully appreciate the pastimes of Krishna, we have to take the gradual process of advancing in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we see, if we go to Vrindavan, we'll see many people come and they're visiting from different parts of India, and with great enthusiasm they'll say, Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, as they're doing the parikrama of Govardhan. And then they'll go back home and watch the TV, just life goes on as normal. So they have a lot of enthusiasm for bhakti, and they have as much enthusiasm for their materialistic way of life, and they don't see any big difference between it. That I like watching the TV, and I like bhakti also. So the real bhakti didn't begin, because real bhakti begins when we understand that it's Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta, that everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. And even in bhakti, if I don't have that direction, that I should be doing it for the satisfaction, unless we understand what it means to act for the satisfaction of Krishna, then even we're doing bhakti, but we do it because, well, I like it. It makes me feel good. So going beyond the platform of thinking what I like, yes, they're very fortunate if they like to chant out the names of Krishna. That's a great fortune. But if that pleasure which they take in chanting the names of Krishna is not their soul pleasure, if they're also cultivating the pleasure of enjoying material life, then we can understand that the pleasure that they're taking in doing Govardhan Parikrama, chanting the names of Krishna, that is not the, it is not on the level of Mother Yashoda or the actual Vrajavasis. So that's why hearing about Krishna, from those who can guide us on the path toward that pure state where there is no other desire than to serve Krishna and satisfy Krishna. That is essential. Hearing about Krishna doesn't only mean hearing about his pastor. That's required. But one should hear about not only prayojanta, the leelas of Krishna, but also sambandha, to clearly understand what is our relationship with Krishna as servant. Because as long as we don't clearly understand that, we will be inclined to cultivate sense gratification. And then abhideya, how to approach Krishna. Because unless we have a clear idea of our sambandha, then even our attempts in bhakti, they will be polluted by mistaken sense of sambandha. Instead of thinking, I am the servant of Krishna, if we're cultivating desires for sense gratification, then our bhakti, even we're hearing, chanting so many things, that will be off course, that will be polluted. So all these, we should hear about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, how he's stealing the butter, how he's being tied up, how he's dancing with the gopis. But that must be accompanied, until one is in the perfect state, that must be accompanied by a proper understanding of what is our relationship with Krishna and how to act in that relationship according to our present level. We should not imitate Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, she's not calculating. She's doing spontaneously, tying up Krishna out of spontaneous love. So that is not to be imitated. This anukaran means imitation. But anusaran, we should take shelter of Mother Yashoda and the Vrajavasis by the process that they have given us, as is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Those are general directions, and how specifically to apply them in our lives are given by the subsequent acharyas from Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, and of course we in ISKCON are working under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has given us this process of practicing Krishna consciousness by which we can become purified and eligible to enter the pastimes of Krishna by service. So that day should come very soon, where we're running to see what is the commotion going on. What's all that shouting coming from Nanda Maharaj's house? Then we're going and seeing, oh, the trees have fallen down. And Mother Yashoda, she's bewildered that there's the others chastising her. Oh, you tied up Krishna and put him in a very dangerous situation. Luckily, the trees didn't fall down on top of him. So to actually enter that should be our goal. Actually, our goal should be to serve, and as a gift that will be given. But that will be given by following the gradual process. Sharanagati. Sharanga sharanagati. Hoibe jaha ta pratana shune srinanda kumar. Who's actually following the processes of sharanagati, of surrender to Krishna, his desire will be filled, his prayer will be heard by Nanda Kumar, Yashoda Kumar, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? You have the books with you. If there's any question, please raise your hand and the microphone will be passed over to you. Have a question? Please give him the mic. Sharanga Sharanagati Vaivajaha.
Hare Krishna. Sharanagata, you said, who is the right person can be considered Sharanagata?
Who is the right person who can be considered Sharanagata? One who is Sharanga Sharanagati Vaivajaha, who is following the six processes of Sharanagati. Accepting only that which is favorable for Krishna's service, giving up anything which is against the principle of Krishna's service, considering Krishna only as my protector and maintainer, always remaining humble and offering oneself mind, body and words in the service of Krishna. This is Sharanagata. Who's doing that is Sharanagata. It may seem that Mother Yashoda is not Sharanagata. She's chasing, she's making, all of bhakti is meant for making Krishna happy. But Krishna's running in fear from Mother Yashoda. It doesn't seem like he's very happy. But actually this fear that Krishna feels, that is more pleasing to him than all the prayers of the Vedas. That my mother loves me so much that she, for being naughty, she's ready to punish me for my being naughty. So again, this is not possible. Like I said, this is not something to bring to the interfaith conference. It's not understandable. The human intelligence doesn't reach this far. When one stops calculating who is God and is simply concerned how to love Him and please Him in all respects, then that is Krishna bhakti, Vraja bhakti.